Support for NPR and the following message come from IXL Learning. IXL Learning uses advanced algorithms to give the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. Get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when you sign up today at IXL.com/NPR.
Hi, everybody. It's Jonathan Colton from Ask Me Another. I am just about to call your favorite host and mine, Ophira Eisenberg. See if she's around. Do a show.
Hello.
Hi, Ophira. How are you?
Pretty good. It was just my kid's fifth birthday party.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you. And you know what? I got really into, you know, what can we do during this time to have a little birthday thing? So I decided upon the outdoor, go to a playground, an outdoor right. playground, go to an outdoor park. And it was going to be very low key, but I still decided on one fancy thing that a five-year-old wouldn't appreciate. But to me, it was, to quote Simon Doonan, a way to zhuzh it up.
Oh, yeah,
I bought expensive cupcakes. I called up a bakery and said, I want superhero cupcakes.
Nice.
All different superheroes, because he loves superheroes. Yeah. Gave me a bunch of fancy cupcakes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, I was just trying to create as much as I could out of the little we have.
Sure.
So I kept thinking of ways. I was, you know, at the last minute, I was like, oh, is there any sort of entertainment that would be kid friendly, that would be socially distanced? And you know what? I came up with it. Stilt walker. I was like, can I hire a stilt walker? Maybe they juggle. It doesn't even matter. They just have to be on stilts, 6 feet in the air. That is socially distanced. Like, you know,
right.
if you can't
They
go
get up- as close as they want because they're 6 feet in the air. Of course yeah. they're 6 feet away. Look at their feet.
That's right. Because everyone forgets 6 feet. Which way do you have to go? Sideways?
Doesn't matter.
No, you can go up.
So did you get a stilt walker?
No, I was like, this is brilliant. And then I have a friend who actually, you know, works with a lot of circus performers. He gave me two numbers. I left messages for those people. Both of them booked. Not available.
It's like everybody already had that idea.
Yeah. So no stilt walker. I was like, it's just going to be a couple friends in the playground and some fancy cupcakes.
At least we have these cupcakes.
And I think, like, okay, we should get to these cupcakes. My husband had brought the cupcakes from the car. I had a cooler with some bottles of water if people wanted. And then the cupcakes were on top of that. And and he, I guess, didn't understand how, you know, cupcakes work.
That is a criticism that you would only level against a spouse. I guess he forgot how cupcakes work. That's a classic.
And so I go to look at the cupcakes, and of course, they've all bounced up and down in the cooler.
Oh, no.
And they are a mess.
Oh, no.
There is.
Do they even look like superheroes anymore?
I mean, they look like superheroes that have been through a battle, I guess. There's been the superheroes have gone through a narrative arc in their
yeah,
journey that day.
It's just like the end of the Avengers movies. Yeah. But I would imagine the kids didn't care, right? The kids are like, it's cake.
Yeah, that is the redemptive part of all of this. They saw me opening up a thing that had sugary confections in it. As soon as like one kid ate one, I was like, like the problem is gone as soon as you eat it.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah.
I ate three myself.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, three cupcakes. I guess that's impressive. Listen, to be honest, this morning I had five cupcakes and there wasn't even a birthday party happening. And actually, I'm just looking at my watch. I'm due for another cupcake. So I'll tell you what. Why don't I do the theme and we'll get the show started. And then while you're talking, I'll eat my sixth cupcake.
All right. I'll move on to my fourth.
Okay. Here we go. From NPR and WNYC, coming to you from our respective homes in beautiful Brooklyn, New York, it's NPR's Hour of Puzzles, Word Games, and Cupcakes. Ask Me Another. I'm Jonathan Colton. Now here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thanks, Jonathan. So to paraphrase Justin Timberlake as Sean Parker in The Social Network, as I do, one famous person named Sarah isn't cool. You know what's cool? Two famous people named Sarah. That's right. Today we have comedian Sarah Silverman and actor Sarah Paulson. And speaking of social networks, our first two contestants are influencers with millions of followers. Okay, so let's play some games. Ricky Thompson and Denzel Dion are best friends, and they're known for their videos on TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram. And not your average, just kind of throwaway videos. These are high production lip sync videos with costumes and choreographed dance moves. I mean, they're incredible. And they also host a new Spotify podcast, We Said What We Said. Ricky Thompson and Denzel Dion, hello.
Hi.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Welcome. You know, I've been enjoying so much of all the stuff that you guys do that are visual and video. And, you know, you're so successful in a visual format. Why go to just audio?
I think that we just really wanted to switch it up. Like, you know, we've done everything video for like all of our careers. So like, let's switch up and do audio.
Yeah, I feel like with video, there's a lot of things going on. A lot of people really sometimes don't hear the message. Obviously, with videos from 15 to like a minute, or YouTube, like 10 minutes, is just like, you know, people just get so caught up. But with audio, it's like you're not just hearing, you're listening. So I feel like we really wanted to just show another side of us for audio and just talk, because we talk a lot.
Right. A lot. Ooh, yeah. A lot.
You know? Right. You just get to like converse like you are hanging out.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's the best.
You know, and you were saying, you know, the videos are, sort of demand a different kind of attention. And I just have to say, I am so dazzled by the production value that you bring to those with the costuming and the choreography. I mean,
oh my God.
So how much time goes into everyone?
Ooh.
It's not, to be honest, like every time we post a costume, we literally do it like 30 minutes before. We do it so late. Right. Ricky gets to my place. I'm getting the things the day of. And I'm like, okay, Ricky, go to my place. And then we just study the choreography for like 5 to 10 minutes. And then we just keep doing it and doing it until the video is perfect. Mm-hmm. That's just how it works. So it's not really like planned.
Not at all. We're just having fun.
We're just having fun.
Well, yeah, it works. It works. Okay, well, let's get to some games. You want to play some games?
Yes.
We
love some games.
How do you feel about competition?
Ooh. Oh, I always say I feel like there's no competition.
There's no competition.
When I'm in the room, there's no competition.
Hello.
Perfect. So this is the deal with this game. Taking a cue from movies like Battleship and Clue, we have imagined what it would sound like if other tabletop games were adapted to be movies.
Oh.
Okay. So Jonathan and I will perform a scene, and your job is just to tell us what game it's based on.
Okay.
Ricky, this one is for you. Here's your first one. This wooden windowless tower needs to be taller.
But sir, we're running out of material.
Just take what you need from the middle and put it on the top.
My hand is shaking though. The whole thing is going to fall. Oh, no. Okay, I did it.
Oh my gosh, I know this game.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, wow. Oh, I'm going blank right now. Oh my God, you guys are going blank. Oh my God.
Denzel's looking at you. He's trying to help you. Does Denzel know it?
I don't know.
I thought he was taunting you because he knows it, but he doesn't. Can you describe the game?
Yes, it's the game, you know, you build up the little blocks, mm-hmm. and if somebody pulls out of the middle.
Oh, Jenga?
Yes!
Yeah, that's right.
Oh.
Yeah.
It was for you, so I wasn't even listening. Oh, yes.
All right, Denzel, here is one for you. My queen, the white riders approach. Their horses are moving in some sort of L shape I've never seen before.
What news of the bishops?
They've been captured, Your Majesty.
So it's up to me. You know, I was a pawn once, but now I can travel in any direction, any distance. Their weakling of a king is really in for a reality check, mate.
Yeah, this is Charles.
Yes.
Yes.
That's right.
Exactly.
It's a pawn for me.
Yes. You know, in the film version of that, Timothée Chalamet would be up for Rook, I think.
Hello.
Probably.
He'd, he'd be in talks. I don't know if he would accept it, but he'd be in talks.
All right. And this one is for Ricky.
Ugh.
Another hot night alone in the big city. It's nights like these you wonder if you're the only one in this crazy house of cards called life who's working with a full deck. Just when the numbers are lining up and you're getting close to the big man at the top, that's when this dame shows up. A real card, a queen, a diamond in the rough. Some nights you wonder if you're the only one playing by the rules. Some nights you wonder if you're the only one playing at all.
Oh my goodness, I'm so bad. Oh my God, I'm trying to think. Okay, a card game I play by myself.
Can I say it and I get
go
this
ahead,
point?
Fine, take it.
Solitaire,
yes. That is the answer.
There you go. Oh.
What's the score again? Sorry, I'm sorry. Try to keep
track. You know what, whatever, fine. I told you.
All right, Denzel, this one's for you.
Okay.
Excuse me, sir, I'd like a slice of pie, but I don't have any money.
Hey, lady, this diner is a business, not a charity.
I'll make you a bet. Ask me a random trivia question about anything, and if I get it right, you give me a slice of pie.
All right, you're on.
Okay. Ooh, not sports and leisure, not sports and leisure, please, not sports and leisure.
Oh, I know this, but I don't know what it's called, so I'm not going to get it. I know exactly what you're talking about.
I'm going to give you the first part of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Trivial.
Trivial pie! No. Trivial game.
It's a much better name.
I feel like trivial pie is like, that's the kind of pie I want to eat. That's a low calorie pie. That's a low calorie pie. Trivial Pursuit.
Oh my God.
This one's for you, Ricky.
Okay.
Doctor, we have Cavity Sam, unidentifiable age, needs several made-up organs removed.
First, we remove the spare ribs, then the butterflies in his stomach.
Doctor, his big red nose is lighting up. Butterfingers.
Come on, Ricky. I don't know.
I'm going to say operation.
Yeah, that is correct.
I feel like I'm the youngest of six, so we had like a really, really old version. And by the time it was passed down to me, like all half of it was missing.
Yeah, all those tiny little pieces.
Yeah.
It's like a box full of choking hazards, basically.
Yes, I put in like a paper clip, a toothpick, you know, just like an eraser.
All right, Denzel, this is the last clue. It's for you.
Okay.
Oops.
My bad.
Excuse me.
Oh, pardon me.
My apologies.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, that's right. You got it.
That was a good one. Yeah. That was a good one.
After the break, we'll play another game with Ricky and Denzel, and then we'll say hello to the first of today's two famous Sarahs, comedian Sarah Silverman. I'm Ophira Eisenberg, and this is Ask Me Another from NPR.
This message comes from Capital One, presenting sponsor of the 2024 Tiny Desk Contest. Earlier this year, unsigned musicians from around the country submitted their original songs for the 10th annual Tiny Desk Contest. The panel of judges are hard at work picking standout entries, and you can follow along and choose your favorite videos as well. The winner gets to play their very own Tiny Desk concert, then headline a tour with NPR Music this summer. Want to come along for the ride? Visit tinydeskcontest.npr.org to learn more, then check out the Venture X card from presenting sponsor Capital One. Earn unlimited 2x miles on everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details. This message comes from NPR sponsor Progressive, and it's Name Your Price tool. Say how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show coverage options within your budget. Visit Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is Ask Me Another, NPR's Hour of Puzzles, Word Games, and Social Media Influencers. I'm Jonathan Colton. Here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thanks, Jonathan. We're playing games with social media celebrities Ricky Thompson and Denzel Dion. Okay, Ricky, we love tabletop games, and you made one.
Yes! Oh my goodness! Yeah. Yes, what do you mean? Ricky Thompson edition. Yes,
Ricky, okay,
yes.
How does what do you mean work?
Basically, you have a card that has a phrase or whatever that I've said, and then someone in that group or whatever has to use a picture of me to react to that meme. So whoever has the funniest reaction to that meme wins the game. So yeah.
That's so cute.
So you have a reaction picture. Like, oh my gosh. Yeah. Yes. Oh my gosh. I love it. Seeing my face in the box is really cute.
Mm-hmm. Right. When they all came together, like a whole bunch of them in a huge box, and you just saw all of your face across, were you like, this is it. This is my empire.
Oh my gosh. I literally like stared at it for a cute 5 minutes. It's like, wow. Wow. Like my face is plastered everywhere.
I know, waiting for the lunchbox next, the doll.
Yes. Oh my goodness.
I was going to say.
My action figure will be coming out very soon. I am. Yes. I'm going to do it. I need it.
Okay, so this game, it might be completely in your favor. I'm just going to say. I don't know, Denzel, but this could be.
Hey, this is my game. Let's play. Oh my God.
Okay, because this is you're gonna be competing against each other again, and this is a guessing game called Fake Memes. It's so simple. We're going to list three internet memes. Two are real, documented on Know Your Meme. That's when they're documented. That's our source.
Okay.
And then one is fake, and you just tell us which one is fake.
Okay.
So, Denzel, this one's for you.
Mm-hmm.
Which of these cartoon images is not the subject of an online meme? Is it A, Arthur from the PBS cartoon clenching his fist? Is it B, Homer Simpson walking backwards into the bushes? Or is it C, Winnie the Pooh finally putting on a pair of pants?
Winnie the Pooh finally putting on a pair of pants.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that dude's never wearing pants.
Nobody wants that. Nobody wants to see him put on pants.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
By the way, memes in an audio format is hilarious.
Describing these GIFs, I know, hilarious. All right, Ricky, which of the following viral videos is made up? A recording of Ariana Grande concert that shows her ponytail flying off into the audience? B, a 2001 interview when Mariah Carey claims not to know Jennifer Lopez? Or C, actor Keke Palmer takes a lie detector test and doesn't recognize who Dick Cheney is?
Oh, Miss Ariana Grande losing that ponytail. She will never lose that ponytail.
totally fake.
I would love to see that.
You know what? I know my memes.
Okay, I want that. I want a video of someone's ponytail flying off into an audience. That sounds so fun.
I feel like she should set that up to happen at some show. That would be amazing. Yeah. I'd be psyched.
All right, Denzel, which of these superhero image macros is not real? A, Batman slapping Robin across the face. B, Spider-Man pointing at another Spider-Man. Or C, Captain America eating spaghetti and meatballs off of his own shield.
Captain America.
That's right. Once again, that is right.
Like, I see that. No.
No. It's a good idea, though. It is kind of good to be
because,
a superhero that comes.
Yeah, that could so trick somebody. Like, you can see.
Mm-hmm. It would be a healthy plate of spaghetti and meatballs. A
lot of carbs.
He's gonna take a big nap after.
Oh my God.
Okay, Ricky, this is the last one. Which of these is not a reaction image that you'll find online? A, Selena Gomez crying. B, Tiffany Pollard, a.k.a. New York, sitting on a bed wearing sunglasses with her hands folded. Or C, Guy Fieri winking at a quesadilla.
Oh, it's C for me.
No, it's not.
Yeah, you were correct.
Denzel, get out of here. Yes. You're so annoying. Oh. You're really trying to break for my downfall. I know my memes, like I said. No, I did not. I knew Selena Gomez, but I knew Tiffany Pollard. Get out of here. I know my memes.
You do know your memes. You did fantastic. Thank you so much. Your new podcast is called We Said What We Said, available exclusively on Spotify. Thank you, Ricky Thompson. Thank you, Denzel Dion.
Thank you.
By the way, Ricky and Denzel have more than 7.5 million Instagram followers combined. You know what? We'd love for you to help us catch up. So take a break from doom scrolling and follow NPR Ask Me Another on Instagram. We're posting video clips and screen caps from our Zoom tapings, and you'll be able to check in on the current status of Jonathan Colton's beard.
Spoiler alert, it is extremely luxurious.
It's time to meet our first famous Sarah on today's show. She's a comic whose voice can be heard in Wreck-It Ralph and Bob's Burgers. She starred in the Sarah Silverman program on Comedy Central and hosts the new Sarah Silverman podcast. It's Sarah Silverman. Hello.
Hello.
I know that you are a gamer.
Uh-huh.
What have you been playing?
Well, I'm really not a gamer. I just, when quarantine started, I was in New York City and I just had this instinct to go to GameStop and and buy a console and say this would be the time to learn video games. Of course, I knew like Nintendo 64 from years ago, but this was a whole new thing. I had to, you know, get a whole new muscle memory for various myriad buttons and things. And I really just got into one game, Call of Duty, World War II. But
yeah,
I just, you know, my plan, and I think it was a good one. You know, now I'm busy and life is taking hold. But for those first 3 months, my plan was I slept as late as I could. I played video games and I went to bed as early as possible.
And what kind of hours are we talking?
A lot of people have a 40-hour work week. I had a 40-hour waking week.
Yeah. Just keep the days moving. Keep moving right
through. In
my defense,
I have a very, very busy dream life, and I have to be there a lot.
So what are you saying? No more Call of Duty? You're done with it?
I haven't played it for a while, but okay. I do enjoy it. I like, I don't know a nice way to say this, and it sounds so terrible, but it is just pretend. But killing Nazis.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah.
I especially loved stabbing.
Yeah.
But,
And are you playing online with other people, or are you just playing through the story? Are you squatting up with people and doing that sort of thing?
I actually, my now boyfriend was the person that I played online with.
Look at that.
Yeah, we had a little, we knew each other a bit, but we had a Call of Duty online gaming romance that turned like actually real.
It's very romantic.
It really was. It was very, you know, well, you know, war brings people together.
That's what they say.
That's
Wait,
right.
Is that what they say? That can't possibly be what they say, can it?
John Lennon said that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's what his bed-in was about. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
I've been having a very underpublicized bed-in myself.
You said you live in an apartment building. I find this just so fascinating because I think most people, when they picture a celebrity, they picture someone living in the lap of luxury. And I think it was a 2017 Guardian interview that you revealed that your business manager had said, once told you, that you spent the least amount of money on clothes of all
Of any of his clients, male or female.
Wow.
And that you lived in a small apartment and that had a shared like a laundry facility. So
Yeah. I like to live far below my means.
Yeah.
Not far below. I'm living less and less below my means, to be honest. But I always tell, that's always the advice I give people when they're like, what, you know, tell me, give me advice about, I was like, keep your overhead low, you know?
Right.
And I just like, I don't want more than one key, you know? Also, I just think, I don't know, you can't be a comedian and be funny and like live a totally detached life where you don't like do errands and stuff.
Right. Once all of the struggle is gone and you're completely out of touch with, because you're supposed to be talking to every person. More or less.
But I mean, listen, I would love to like do a Neutrogena commercial. I just seem to be a little divisive for mainstream commercials, but I would love, if you're out there, come on. My skin is my face is my fortune.
Yes. But you have a new podcast.
Oh, yeah.
The Sarah Silverman podcast, in the tradition of the Sarah Silverman program, titled The Sarah Silverman Podcast.
I didn't even think of it like that, except that I just am of the belief that whatever clever name you give it, people are just going to say, did you hear the Sarah Silverman podcast? Did you listen to Marc Maron? You know, you watch Samantha Bee. No one's saying, did you see Last Week Tonight? on Sunday. So I just skipped the middleman.
Skip the chase.
I like to think of myself as creative, but a realist, you know.
Extremely.
A dreamer, but a realist.
You know, you also wrote a great memoir, The Bedwetter, which is now a musical, or was slated to start performances this year. Obviously, it is on hold.
Yep. They're sticking with it, you know, and now it's moved to like June, but I can't imagine it won't be pushed again. It'll happen when it happens. My dad just keeps saying, like, how much longer do I have to stay alive? You know, he's been waiting. It's been like an 8-year process. You know, it takes a long time to do a musical.
Yeah.
And he finally had his tickets and his flight, you know, so it's just.
Oh, no.
Dad, you got to hold on a little longer. I mean, he's fine. He's not sick. But he's, you know, 83, so he's just like. He goes on this app that calculates how much longer you're going to live.
Like an actuary? Geez. A fun actuary?
Come on, Dad.
Yeah, he's like, gonna live 6 more years.
But, you know, I find it also unique that your dad basically tried to convince you to quit college. I think you were already doing stand-up and already good at it. And he was like, no, quit college so you can pursue this, which I don't know of any other comics' parents who have said that to them.
Yeah, very rare. I went to NYU and I had a very small scholarship and my dad paid everything else. Mm-hmm. And I went 1 year and then I said, I want to take a year off to just do stand up. And he said, okay. And then I was all ready to start my second year, although I left the drama program. I wanted to do arts and sciences because I just wanted to learn stuff. You know, I felt like I could take acting classes outside of college, but to pay for college to take acting lessons seemed like, I don't know, I wanted to learn, get information, you know.
What else? What else do people know around here?
Yeah, I was working from 4 p.m. to 2 a.m. passing out flyers and then going to school. And it was a lot. And then doing stand-up, you know. So he called me and he said, listen, if you drop out of college, I'll pay your rent and utilities for the next 3 years as if it's your sophomore, junior, senior year.
Wow.
And you can keep doing stand-up. I go, yeah, okay. And I'll tell you what I did. I stole classes because they're just such big classes at NYU, lecture classes. I just went to them. You know, I mean, I didn't need a diploma. I didn't need to get papers graded. So it was, you know, I suggest anyone to do that if they don't have, you know, money for.
You would just show your student ID for that 1 year and go
through?
Yeah,
or I'd use friends. Like, all my friends still were there, and they were psyched to not go to classes. So.
You know, I was reading, too, that you are you're not just a huge fan of Law & Order. You watch it before you go to bed as like, is that like your palate cleanser to like bring you off to sleep nicely?
I think it's, my guess is because it's wherever, you know, when you're a comic, you're on the road all the time usually. And
right,
there's something about, like, I would bring this plaid blanket from Target that I love everywhere. I'd squeeze it into a ball into my luggage. And then wherever I was, I'd put it on the bedspread and it felt like I was at one place. And then another thing like that is Law & Order. Wherever you are in the country, you can find a Law & Order marathon. So it just, it's, I think it was like, it became my transitional object, you know, like my blanket or something.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I can't fall asleep unless it's to the like dulcet tones of softcore murder, you know.
Did you have a version that you liked the best?
I watch it all. I watch them all. I watched Law & Order LA as well. It was just one season. Very good. Corey Stoll, Terrence Howard.
Yeah. Okay. All right. You know your stuff. So we wrote a Law & Order quiz for you.
I hope I do well.
So and I know you just played a Law & Order quiz on your own podcast, and I'm just going to say that this is different.
Good, because my producer that picked those questions never doesn't know Law & Order and just went on to like Law & Order trivia, like IMDb. That's like impossible to answer. It's like fun facts, you know.
Yeah, this is far less obscure and multiple choice. and multiple choice.
Oh my gosh, okay. I better do well. Here we go.
All right, what Law & Order franchise actor holds the distinction of playing the same character in the most consecutive seasons of any American TV show? Is it...
I know who it is. It's Olivia Benson. Mariska Hargitay.
Yes, you are correct. That is correct. She's appeared in 20 consecutive seasons of Law & Order. Wow. It's like all the fashions she wore in the beginning came back.
It's that's so true, because when I'm watching old ones and I'm like, oh, I love that.
Cool.
And like the makeup style and everything even is like.
Yeah. It's like the pantsuits and the hair. Yeah, you're like, oh.
Ooh, I miss when she has a bold lip.
That's right. All right, here's another one. Which character from Law & Order SVU has appeared on at least 10 different scripted TV series, including Homicide, Life on the Street, Unbreakable
Munch,
Kimmy
baby,
Schmidt,
Richard Belzer,
and Arrested Development? You don't even need the multiple choice. You are correct. Detective Munch, Richard Belzer.
I love him. He was like the liberal conspiracy theorist of the group.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
With the shaded glasses, so you're like, oh, I get it. I know why he feels that way. I get it.
All right, this is the last question. Which of these is not a real Law & Order spinoff? A, Law & Order LA, B, Law & Order UK, or C, Law & Order DC?
DC, no DC.
You are correct, no DC.
Love this trivia game. Wish we could do it all day.
You're killing it.
Yeah, LA, you knew that. UK. UK.
I started watching UK when it came out because I couldn't. I was so excited. And I can't understand what they're saying at all. And so, but I went back to it recently because I watched a ton of British television. And it's not that I've gotten better at it, but now I have the closed captioning on at all times. And I can watch it.
All right, I just have to say this. This is the joke. It's the Law & Order UK was created, of course, by Spotted Dick Wolf.
That's pretty good.
We will have more with Sarah Silverman after the break. Plus, we'll play a music parody game with actor Sarah Paulson. And if you thought American Horror Story was scary, good news. This won't be scary at all, I promise. I'm Ophira Eisberg, and this is Ask Me Another from NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, Teladoc Health. There are lots of reasons for wanting to be healthy. Family, work, living a fuller life. Teladoc Health understands. Whether you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or just need to manage your weight, Teladoc Health can help. Visit teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy for more information. That's teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy.
Support for NPR and the following message come from Betterment, an automated investing and savings app. CEO Sarah Levy shares why Betterment believes cash can be a strategic choice.
There are times when the market is volatile, when customers are a little nervous about investing. We came to understand that there was an opportunity to introduce cash as part of an investing strategy and to give back yields to the customer.
Learn more about high-yield cash accounts at Betterment.com. Investing involves risk. Performance not guaranteed. Cash reserve offered through Betterment LLC and Betterment Securities. Betterment is not a bank.
This is NPR's Ask Me Another. I'm Jonathan Colton. Here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thanks, Jonathan. We're playing games with comedian Sarah Silverman. Sarah, are you ready for another game?
Yes, ma'am.
This is called Is That a Kit Kat?
Love.
Delicious. One of my favorites.
Eat the ledges first all around the sides, then go in for the wafers.
Can I just say, this Halloween, I saw a child, not a child in my family, but a different child that I know, eat a Kit Kat without breaking it into individual wafers. She just unwrapped it and ate it like it was a sandwich. What a monster. That's not how you do it.
Wait a second. She didn't even do like the little typewriter thing where you kind of go like...
She didn't break it at all.
That's what I do. I go...
That's, yeah.
Yeah.
That's one of two appropriate ways to eat a Kit Kat.
Yeah. And you know, people like to freeze them, and I'm for freezing a lot of things. I like to freeze grapes. I like to freeze licorice. And of course, a Charleston chew.
Of course.
But not a Kit Kat. You lose the chocolate feeling. Mm-hmm. You want it to be melty.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's true. You want it to be kind of melty. That's what it's bet, because then it sinks into the wafers a little bit. So the wafers are no longer dry. They are moist. It's a wrong, bad use of moist, bad use of moist. Okay, so
moist.
So many countries have very cool Kit Kat flavors that are beyond just chocolate. So I am going to give you a Kit Kat flavor. You are just going to say if it's real or if it's fake. Okay. And this is a speed round. So we're putting some amount of time on a clock.
Put a amount of time on the clock.
All right, here we go. From Canada, hazelnut.
True.
It is true. From Japan, grape.
I'm going to say it's true.
It is true. From Sweden, Swedish meatball.
Fake news.
That is fake. From Argentina, dulce de leche.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yes.
Sorry, that was fake. But they should make it. They should,
they should make it.
Yeah, they should. That's absolutely reasonable.
From the United States, lemon.
No way.
Oh, that's real. From France, apricot brie.
I'm going to say fake news.
That was fake. From Australia, raspberry rose and hibiscus.
I'm going to say that's true.
Oh, that is so true. From Germany, sauerkraut.
No way.
Yeah, no way. That was fake. From Russia, vodka.
No.
No, it is not. Oh. You're right. Fake.
That was
and
a thinker.
And finally, from the UK, gin and tonic.
Yes?
Yes.
No. Really?
Yeah.
I'll take your yes question mark as a yes exclamation mark. Yes.
Do you have to be over, 11 there?
yeah, you have to, that's right.
If you can reach it, you can have it. That's their thing. Sarah Silverman, you won, and then you won more. You're amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you. What a joy.
Thank you.
The Sarah Silverman Podcast from Cast Media is available wherever podcasts are available. Now let's say hello to the second of two very famous Sarahs on today's show. She's an Emmy Award-winning actor from American Crime Story and American Horror Story, and now she's on American Trivia Story. Sarah Paulson, hello.
Hi.
You're obviously a regular fixture on Ryan Murphy's long-running TV anthology, American Horror Story. You've played 11 characters in eight seasons. And the roles, I mean, for me to look at them. I'm very scared of this stuff, so I don't consume a lot of it. Do you like horror? Do you watch horror yourself?
No, but see, I had really young parents. My parents were 21 and almost 23 when I was born, and so they wanted to watch what they wanted to watch, and so they did. And so I was a 9-year-old watching Nightmare on Elm Street, you know, begging my father to leave the door wide open while I fell asleep, you know. It just, and my sister would lie in the bed next to me and be like, Freddy's gonna get you, you know. I'd be like, yeah. And so they watched all those scary movies because they really liked them and they were young and they wanted to. So I was certainly seeing them way before I should have. I'm a person who is scared from my own shadow. So how I found myself working in this genre is really a kind of confounding situation.
Yeah, and some of the, I mean, your characters, they're unbelievably doing gruesome things.
Sure.
So I don't know what goes through your mind when you are doing this stuff. But I just wonder if it's like just kind of fun and there's a detachment.
If I were more talented, I think the answer would be yes. But I don't know how to do it without really, like, I don't know how to fake it. So if I'm hyperventilating, and that's just, you know, the consequence of my, you know, the havoc I've wreaked on my health, I'm sure, doing these shows. Because I think in season 6 or something, which was the cult season, which was sort of dealing with the inauguration of President Trump, and that whole story, my character was supposed to be completely undone by all of this. And, you know, that was sort of easy for me to replicate to access, a degree, but yes. I access in myself. But also I was being chased by clowns, and it was like, but there's really an actor with a clown head on, you know, with a knife in his hand chasing me. And I don't know how to not run screaming from that. And I don't know how to do it in a way where then I stop and go, okay, so when second meal, I don't know how to do it. I'm in the corner like, okay, could you just give me a minute? I just need a second. You know, it's just like, wow, lady, you've got to find a way to do this without torturing yourself. I don't think acting is supposed to be torturous, but, you know, I don't know how to fake it. That's the truth about me.
So, but what do you do in between takes when they're like, all right, cut, and you still have to do
sob
it again?
Sob and ask for my blood. Mother? I don't know. It's a lot of like, you know, it really does beg the question, like, am I sane? Because why would you put yourself in this, you know, position again and again and again, you know? But I do, people seem to really love it. And I kind of love how
very effective.
Yeah, those fans really, it's kind of wild to have people that are so devoted that way.
And I have to say, the internet loves it because you get these lines on American Horror Story that are so outrageous. And one that comes to mind is from Apocalypse, where I'm just going to take out the curse word, but you basically say, like, I am the supreme.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And
I am the bleeping supreme.
The bleeping supreme. The bleeping supreme. Which just seems so ripe for, you know, internet memes and GIFs.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, when you see these lines on the script, are you like, oh yeah, the internet is just going to gobble this up?
I thought they might be excited about that one because that was a reprisal of a character I played that was very beloved by the fans from season 3 in Coven. So, and that witch did not start out the most powerful witch. I became the most powerful witch by the end of the season. So then when I, you know, returned to that character, people were so excited to see how Cordelia had become the most powerful witch of all. So, so I knew they were going to like that, but I have a bunch of, you know, there's the I'm tough, but I'm no cookie, because somebody calls me a cookie and I say I'm tough but I'm no cookie. The only time it gets supremely weird is when you go to some of these fan events and they, you know, fans will roll up their arm and they'll show you a tattoo of the phrase, or they will ask you to sign that phrase on a piece of paper, and you will see them later at a fan event and they have tattooed that exact, your handwriting on their body. Uh-huh. And it's just a lot of dedication. I'm grateful for them, but wow.
And I'm sure you've also been like, I have to be really careful that I'm spelling this all correctly in my head.
No, I am the worst speller. I am a terrible speller. I had a job at Circles Pizza in Brooklyn. Circles Pizza up there on 15th.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sure.
Oh. I worked there, and I think I worked there for an afternoon because I got a phone call for an online, like an order to be delivered, and they asked me to spell chicken parmesan, and I didn't know how to spell parmesan, and I panicked. I mean, never occurred to me I could write chicken parm. I just didn't have the skill. And I remember calling my mother and saying, how do you spell parmesan? Like, it just was too horrible for me. I'm a bad speller. I'm a bad speller now. I've always been a bad speller. When I watch those spelling bee movies and things, I'm like, wow, these kids are so amazing.
But, you know, can all those good spellers act? Maybe you can ask yourself.
You know, this is a very good point you make. I like this point. I like this point a lot.
And in your new Hulu film called Run, you play the single parent of a chronically unwell 17-year-old girl. And as the girl inches towards her 18th birthday, she begins to get a sense that maybe she isn't as sick as her mother makes her out to be.
Yeah, I found myself in another genre story. Yeah,
yeah. It reminds me, maybe it does you too, I'm not sure. It reminds me a little bit of Kathy Bates's character in Misery.
Yeah.
And you two have been on the
We worked
same
together on American
set.
Horror Story for a couple of years. Yeah, yeah, I even got to direct her in an episode where she was just the most game, delicious, wonderful comrade in arms. She was wonderful. She was just so great.
Did you talk about your relationship to the genre of horror?
We didn't. It's so funny. Yeah. We didn't. Because sometimes, you know, when you're doing the thing, you don't have that perspective. It's like living in New York and not going to see the Statue of Liberty because you live there. It's like, it's right. Just not what you're going
to
do.
And then someone comes to town and you're like,
and they're
no,
like,
I've
the
been
Statue
here before.
Of Liberty.
No. and now you are the face of Netflix's most watched original series of 2020 for your role as Nurse Ratched, which is the origin story of one of the most famous villains in novel and film, From One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. First of all, when you are the most watched series for Netflix? Do they send you like a fruit basket? Do you get a plaque? Anything?
I didn't get a plaque and I didn't get a basket either. So anybody listening to this working at Netflix, you might want to send me a goodie bag. Just a little goodie bag. I mean, one could argue that the gift they've given me is, you know, being on a show that's successful and money. Sure. Yeah, exactly. Sure. They paid me to do the gig. So I guess they don't really owe me a plaque, although I don't object to it. Give me a plaque any day. I'll take it.
And you were also not only the star of this, but the executive producer. And you have a general rule, I'll say, where you don't like to watch the final product of what you're in, but you had to break that rule for this series. Because you were an executive producer?
Yes, because I was an executive producer, because I felt it would be really unfair of me to start shouting about what I felt I thought should be different or other, having never seen it. So I thought, that's not going to work for this. So I'm going to have to watch it. It's just, I don't know, looking at one's own face, plus looking at one's own face while you're talking or emoting or just standing there and everything looks like it's melting to me. I just look like a melting candlestick with a voice box. It's just not a great experience. It's like listening to your sound of your voice on, well, you guys probably have to do this all the time. Do you enjoy listening to your voice on the radio?
No, if I'm in the car and the show comes on, I turn it off right away.
Right.
Sarah, we know that you love music.
I do.
So guess what? Jonathan Coulton is going to sing you some clues in your game. Are you ready for an Ask Me Another challenge?
I'm ready for an Ask Me Another challenge. I'm scared.
All right.
I feel frightened.
No. So what we've done is we took classic 90s R&B songs and we changed the lyrics to make them about other things that have two initials with an ampersand between them.
So my brain is already like, what?
We're here for you.
Right. M&M's candy, R&D for research and development, A&P supermarkets. These are all examples of what the answers might be.
Okay, thanks for the help there.
Sure. All you have to do is tell me. All you have to do is tell me the thing I'm singing about, or you can tell me the name of the song that I'm parodying, or the artist who made it famous.
Great. Oh God, please don't fail.
Here's the first one.
Okay.
Storage wars, I've been watching Hoarders, also Law and Orders, I never go outdoors. Parking wars, it is my intention to watch Intervention, cable net, I'm yours.
Okay, well that's A&E.
That's correct, yes. A&E.
Okay, and say my name.
That's right.
Yeah.
Destiny's Child. That is
Destiny's Child. Okay. I mean, I get one. So now, no matter what, we can only go downhill from here, but it's possible I could do something. We'll see.
All right. Here's another one.
Okay.
Maybe we should have stayed at a hotel. Morning meals, not swell. There's no privacy. Floral wallpaper, and the hosts are weird.
A B&B.
A B&B, a bed breakfast, that's correct.
Yeah.
And it's I'll Make Love to You.
No,
I'll make love to you.
It's the same band.
So it's Boys to the Men. Boys to the Men, I just said.
It's Boys to the Men.
It's Boys to the Men.
It's Boys to the Men, that's End of the Road, that's right.
You're very good at this, Jonathan Coulton.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, we're just a fast, fast fashion store mainstay. Operate worldwide, straight from the runway. Way, way cheaper clothes don't last through the year. But we're at the mall where you're shopping anyway.
H&M.
H&M is correct. And do you know the song?
Nope.
It was Fantasy by Mariah Carey.
Yeah. Oh, Sweet, Sweet Fantasy. Uh-huh. That's what it was. Yeah.
All right. Here's the next one.
Okay.
Is it my turn? Is it your turn? Sometimes I'm lawful evil. Right now, chaotic neutral. The DM says so. I could really use a wizard. Tell me, would you be that wizard?
So Dungeons and Drag, D&D?
D&D.
D&D. And who was it?
It was Aaliyah.
Aaliyah.
It's called Are You That Somebody? All right, this is the last one.
Okay, hit me.
Don't go drink
drinking orange pop. Don't drink Coca-Cola, Dr. Pepper, or Fanta. Have a drink that tastes like sarsaparilla or sassafras. Its mascot is a bear with no pants.
I think I have this one totally. It's Don't Go Chasing Waterfalls.
Yes.
Okay.
That's right.
And it's A&W Root Beer.
That is correct.
Right?
Yeah. TLC, right. You got
TLC.
It.
TLC.
Well done.
So doesn't it sort of mean I won? I just need to win.
It absolutely means you won.
Oh, man. I love to win. Yeah. I love it. I love it. I like to know I beat them all.
That's right. That's right. Amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I'll come back. Yeah.
That would be great.
Come on.
Anytime. Anytime.
See you tomorrow.
Yeah,
thank you so
much,
Sarah Paulson.
Thank you.
Thank you guys so much. I appreciate it.
Sarah stars in Ratched on Netflix and in the Hulu film Run. Well, we're fresh out of Sarah's, so that's our show. Ask Me Another's house musician is Jonathan Colton.
Hey, my name anagrams to Thou Jolt a Cannon.
Our puzzles were written by our staff, along with senior writers Eric Feinstein, Andrew Kane, and Karen Lurie, with additional material by Kara Weinberger. Ask Me Another is produced by Travis Larchuk, Nancy Seychow, James Sparber, Rimmel Wood, and our intern, Sam Yellowhorse Kessler. Our senior supervising producer is Rachel Neal, and our boss's bosses are Steve Nelson and Anya Grunman. Thanks to our production partner, WNYC. And before we go, we want to raise a potent potable and express our appreciation for the great Canadian Alex Trebek. Every time someone on our show answers in the form of a question, we think of you, Alex. Thank you for everything. I'm Harriet Begonias.
Ophira Eisenberg.
And this was Ask Me Another from NPR. Hey, you're still listening. Fantastic. So since you're still here, why not pop over to Apple Podcasts and write us a review? We'd love to hear from you, and it also helps others find out about our show. For information about new episodes, bonus videos, and more, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. Thanks! Next week on Ask Me Another, we'll talk to Rachel Bloom, creator and star of The CW's Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. She's a huge fan of Disneyland and science fiction author Ray Bradbury, so we're going to play a game where we've rethemed theme park rides to make them about his books. Plus, we'll get closer to our goal of playing games on all seven continents as late night writer Karen Chi joins us from South Korea. So join me on Ask Me Another, the answer to life's funnier questions.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure. AI may be the most important new computer technology ever, but AI needs a lot of processing speed, and that gets expensive fast. Upgrade to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure. OCI is the single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. Do more and spend less like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic. Take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/NPR.
Support for NPR and the following message come from Rosetta Stone, the perfect app to achieve your language learning goals no matter how busy your schedule gets. It's designed to maximize study time with immersive 10-minute lessons and audio practice for your commute. Plus, tailor your learning plan for specific objectives like travel. Get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off and unlimited access to 25 language courses. Learn more at rosettastone.com/NPR.
All that sitting and swiping, your body is adapting to your technology. Learn how and what you can do about it.
I really felt like the cloud in my brain kind of dissipated. Once I started realizing what a difference these little breaks were making, there's no turning back for me.
Take NPR's Body Electric Challenge. Listen to the series wherever you get your podcasts.